World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like somewhere I lost a couple of days. I don't know. I was just saying in the pre-show, you know, this cold jumped on me. I'm taking all kinds of supplements and just trying to stay healthy. And this thing jumped on me from somewhere. And yesterday when we were still cleaning things up from the event, I slept in a chair yesterday for like 3 hours in the afternoon. And then things started to break off a little bit. Thanks, Steve Deck, for cleaning everything up for me. And, of course, my precious little wife and making me look good. And I slept really good last night. I still got this. I don't want to sound gross. If you could lose weight by blowing your nose, I should have lost 20 pounds by now. I don't know what's going on, but I'm here. I'm excited. Where am I heading? I'm heading to Venice, Florida this weekend. Real quickly, pull up two things. I want you to play it for me. Pull up General Flynn. This is, Spence, pull up. It's called the Stay Awake America. Stay Awake. This is being held in Venice, Florida. And you talk about an all-star lineup, whatever that even means. It's a great all-star lineup. Got a little clip on, but look, here's why I'm saying this. I know most of you aren't near Venice, Florida, but we have some free tickets. If you would like to come to this event, we have some free tickets available. So just contact me offline, whatever. Say, hey, Coach, I'd like to come. I don't live that far away, Coach. I'd love to come down there. And I'm telling you, a lineup of it's all stars, huh? Let's see, Coach Dave. There's the schedule: Tenpenny, Dr. Lafferty, I don't leave anybody off. The Casper McLeod Band, Carrie Made, Brett, Ohio Brett, Trennis Evans, my goodness, Patrick Byrne, General Michael Flynn. Yeah, live and in color. I'm not going to read on Mikovits, Glenn Baker. That's a big deal, man. Big deal this weekend. So I'm sorry it's so late, and I'm sorry some of you are so far away, so I can't get down there. But if you can, let me know. We'll get you a ticket, get you in. I'm speaking late in the evening, 3 on Sunday. Is that right? Clear down to bottom. I open in prayer, and then I'm down to bottom there at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock on is that Sunday? I think it's Sunday. Anyway, play that real quick little video from Flynn, if you could. General Flynn's going to be there as well. Stay awake, America.
Treason.
Wake up.
Those responsible for treasonous acts and all the crimes against humanity, they need to be held accountable. They definitely need to be held accountable to the full extent of the law. And I mean that. I mean, if our founders taught us two things, they taught us courage. They taught us how to be courageous by their own demonstrated actions, right? But they also taught us to be accountable for the things that we create. So we need to stay awake, America. And the Stay Awake America tour is going to go around to help educate and empower us as we continue to embrace the forces behind Make America Great Again, Make America Healthy Again, and President Donald J. Trump to really help save America and the world from these evil globalists. I mean, part of the Stay Awake America movement to take action. Local action does equal a national impact. And only equals a national impact if you stand up, step up, and speak up.
Hey, man, so we're going to be down there this weekend. And I think they're live streaming it. I'll get you some more information on it. Let me do an editorial. I've been to a lot of these things. I'm sorry? Not just Stay Awake America. I've been to a lot of these events. And here's my greatest concern, as always, there's never a game plan afterwards. And look, I'm not being critical. I'm an analyst, okay? And they'll get 500 people in the room, and golly, we'll get the greatest information we ever have, and then we leave, and nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows what to
do. Amen.
And that's what I love best about this crew here. And we saw that again this weekend. They're doers in here. They're doers. Whatever the Lord says unto you, do it. I think of Craig, and I think of Randy, and I think of Jeff Klein, and I think I can just run down a list of people who are doing. Mel, they're doing. And my greatest frustration always is when I go to one of these conferences, whether it be Hear the Watchman, Stay America, or whatever it would be. Dude, somebody call a play. What's the freaking play we run? And so these things can be very encouraging and very discouraging at the same time because it's overwhelming. But here's the good thing. Got some big names. There's some big for what that's worth. I got to believe that General Flynn's probably flying pretty close to the fire, don't you think? And he's probably pretty much in that inner circle. And we're going to be able to hear from him. Now, I hear some of you say, yeah, but I don't trust General Flynn. Well, pardon me a second. Who the hell do you trust? Who do you trust? At some point, you're going to have to trust somebody. I think we were discussing that last week. So I don't trust Trump. But I'm going to say it again. I don't trust him either. But whether we like it or not, you got to back a horse, man. You got to back a horse. And I know this, that lefties, those lefty horses, I ain't riding any of them. Is Trump the horse to ride? I don't know, but I got to pick a horse. I'm going to get on that MAGA horse, and I'm going to ride, and I'm watching what's going on. I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of President Trump. This is me putting Israel first. I'm tired of it. I'm not afraid to call that out. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why we're over in Israel. I'm going to get in this. You hang in there with me. I know why we're in there. I'm going to show you. Personally, I don't think Israel's my responsibility. I don't think I should send my son or your son or anybody else's son to defend Israel. I'm just sorry. That's where I am with it. And it kind of discourages me to see, once again, why are we fighting in the Middle East? Can somebody explain that to me? Why are we fighting in the Middle East? I'll wait a minute. I'm going to just pause a second. Can somebody tell me why we're fighting in the Middle East? Why are we fighting Iran? Does anybody know? You might explain that to me. I mean, I'm asking you. I'm open. Why are we fighting Iran?
Because, I'll tell you why. Because we supposedly worry about them having nuclear weapons, right? But right? I think there's another country in the Middle East that has nuclear weapons that have violated our treaties, and somehow we're helping them without any issue at all. It sounds like hypocrisy and projection.
Well, Vinny, isn't it the same thing? Why were we supporting Ukraine? Why were we support? Is anybody else besides me tired of fighting these foreign wars, draining our money and sending our what? Anyway, I don't want to get camp on that. I just want you to know that your host wants to know what the hell's going on. Why are we fighting a battle in the Middle East again? And I'm going to move on. Sorry, I got a cough here. Hey, I'm looking up here. Friday, maybe somebody out there can help us. Scott Shara, they kicked butt again. His lawyers kicked butt again. I don't have any idea how Scott Shara does not win $800 million. I don't have any idea how he can. If there's an honest jury and an honest judge, we have to remember this, folks, that in the jury, what do they call it? Jury instructions. At the end of the trial, the judge gives jury instructions. And you know what? The judge can change the whole case at the end with his instructions. Don't pay any attention to this. This was not relevant. Don't pay any attention to this. Don't pay any attention to this. The judge can really do a whopper at the end of it. So we've got to keep an eye on that. It appears to me that, man, oh, man, oh, man. Some of the testimony I heard over the weekend when I was awake is pretty damn. Johnny's got his hand up. Go ahead, Johnny.
Good morning, Coach. That question about Iran, I mean,
I'm 57 years old, and for as long as I can remember, it's always been the threat of Iran enriching uranium.
Yeah.
At what, I mean, they've always, how long has it been to take to make a nuclear weapon? I mean, it's just, is it gaslighting? What else is going on? What's the truth?
That's how many wars are we going to fight in the Middle East? Which leads me into, I want to get into something that I think much of what we see going on, whether we will admit it or not, in America is end times speculation. And I use the term speculation because I know some people who call them, I was raised Catholic. I had no end time eschatology. I didn't even know what the word meant. I didn't even know what it meant. Eschatology, still don't know. You know, hey Spencer, just out there for those who don't know, look up eschatology. Go to Webster's and look up eschatology. Eschatology. What is eschatology? Why, nothing found? You mean back in Webster's in 18 whatever there wasn't any eschatology? Okay, go to some modern. Go to Merriam-Webster or something today and look up eschatology. We'll get into this. Stay with me. What's eschatology? A branch of theology concerned with the final events in the history of the world or of humankind. Eschatology. End time theology is eschatology. And I don't know if you guys know this or not. Although people say, all you got to do is read the Bible, coach. This is all spelled out in the Bible. Well, it is. But there's different eschatologies. And some of you don't know it, so I'm going to dive into it a little bit today. Not as an expert. I can read. Pull up number one for me there. Hang on, make sure I got there. Dr. Paul's got a big case coming forward. We need to be praying for that the truth's going to prevail on that. Jeff Nell had a stroke, but I think he's getting back on his feet. Man, a lot of people out there fighting a lot of stuff, man. And as we found out again this weekend, whether we want to be one or not, we really sort of are a body. Christ, we really are. So pray for one another. Joe Allen, go ahead.
In the form of Israel, in 1947, CIA was established.
Right.
1948, Israel came about.
Right. Created politically, was it not? Wasn't the nation of Israel politically?
So then you had Mossad come about right after that. So you can see why we're in bed with Israel.
Yep. I think we should be a friend of Israel. I think we should be a friend of Israel. But I don't think our entire worldview ought to be around. That's just me. Now I'm going to show you something. Maybe some of you never, ever, ever knew. Pull up number one. Just kick back and relax. Kick back and relax, okay? I just put a cough button. Is that the one I want? Let me see. Yeah. Is Satan going to be released? I don't know who Nick Cady is, but I've been researching for about 3 weeks, actually, on this whole thing. Why is Satan going to be released at the end of 1,000 years? Because we know that's what the Bible says. Go on down there. Keep going down. I'm going to show you. Keep going. I'm sorry. Keep going. I'm going to come back to all this. Okay, here we go, folks. Here we are. Now, I want you to know this. Look on this screen right now. Are you looking at this screen right now? I don't care what you believe about end times. Look what this says. There are three main views on the 1,000-year reign, 1,000-year period of time described in Revelation 20. And all of them are considered orthodox. Do you understand? That is a premillennial view, a postmillennial view, and an amillennial view, and every one of them are considered orthodox. Meaning, we don't know. Because why? Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. So here's the three views of what we would call millennialism. What happens at the end times? And why are the end times so important now? Because in 1948, Israel became a nation. You can go throughout the Bible and you can find bless those who bless Israel and yada, yada. We understand Israel, right? Now, the big question we would ask, I got to get Charles Jennings on here, is who's Israel? Who's Israel? Anyway, here we go. So did you know this? Premillennialism are a group of believers, Orthodox believers, meaning within the family of God fold, believe Christ will return pre, meaning before, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Premillennialists understand that the millennium, by the way, millennium means millennium, million, a thousand, millennium's thousand. They understand the millennium, the thousand years, to be a future time of great peace and justice, a literal 1,000-year period, which will begin when Christ returns to reign on the earth as a physically present king. Stop a minute. That's one view, and that is considered Orthodox. You can hold that view and still be an Orthodox Christian. However, you're going to get in a fight because your brother down the street in his church believes in postmillennialism. And postmillennialism is a belief that Christ will return after the millennial period. Postmillennialists, can you say it, think that before Christ returns to earth, the gospel will be spread and triumph so powerfully that societies will be transformed and peace and justice will reign on earth for 1,000 years or for a long period of time, after which Christ will return for the final judgment. So is Christ going to come before that? Is he going to come after it? By the way, both views, Orthodox, can I tell you? Churches will go to battle over those two, even though they're both Orthodox. Nobody knows. Oh, I can prove it, Coach. I can prove it. Then why is there three views? You can prove it. All millennialism. I'm going to stop a minute. How many out there with Beyonce? I never really understood this. Anybody out there going to be honest and say that? I never really understood this. All these differences. I never really understood. Those are all the non-literal, they're called millennials. Those who hold a non-literal millennial view believe the 1,000 years described in Revelation 20 is the present church age. And that there will be no future millennium before Christ returns for the final judgment. Related to this question of whether the 1,000 years are to be interpreted literally, most premillennialists hold this view, or symbolically, most postmillennials and amillennials, and some are we a batch of believers or something? Huh? The nature of bindings of Satan is important to the three millennial views. Premillennialists reading this as predicting a complete removal or restriction of Satan from the earth during this period, this golden age of social righteousness, international peace, and physical well-being with Christ reigning on earth. They argue that the phrase shut it and sealed it over him, picture a removal of Satan from the earth to represent the current age. Am I making sense? Are you paddling with me at least a little bit? Postmillennialists, same Bible, same scriptures, Orthodox, postmillennials also think this will be a future golden age, but that Christ will not return until the end of that time. Let me stop right here. If you believe in a premillennial view, you ought to be really nervous about what's going on in Israel. All millennialists believe that the Jesus' first coming has already bound Satan and brought God's light to the nations. Therefore, they argue that this binding of Satan for 1,000 years refers to the gospel spread among all nations during the present age and to the present restraint of the church's persecutors until an outbreak of rebellion before Christ's return. So postmillennialists believe we're in the kingdom age now. It's all going to break loose at the end when Satan's released for a short time. You guys understand that, right? In Revelation, it says he's released for a short period. He's released again. By the way, can we be in that age? Is there a devil loose in the world today or what? Man. Excuse me. So I would agree with the pre and post millennial that it's quite a stretch to say that Satan is currently bound. You guys think Satan is currently bound? Watch the news for 5 minutes. It will show you that evil is very present in our current day. And the New Testament speaks about Satan being active. For example, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober minded, watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, not as one, like one, pretending to be one, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. If Satan is bound, then why does it say that he prowls around? Must be resisted. Each of these views fall within the realm of Christian orthodoxy and are based on different views of interpreting text along with other texts in the Bible. So I'm going to open it up here. No fighting. I got some more stuff. Hang on. No fighting. Because again, as I was raised as a Catholic, there's no eschatology in Catholicism that I know of. When I was in the Catholic Church, I never heard the first thing about Israel, never heard the first thing about end time, and I never heard anything about it. When I got saved and started going to an evangelicalist church, and then all of a sudden they start preaching about Israel and the rapture. I'd never heard any of that stuff, okay? As far as I know, I'm the Christian. So who's right? Three, somebody help me out here. Does this say each of these views falls within the realm of Christian orthodoxy and are based on different ways of interpreting this text along with other texts in the Bible? And could it be possible that some of our religious leaders and some of our political leaders want war in Israel because they think they're ushering in the return of Jesus?
Boom. Mm-hmm.
Somebody rescue me. Don't come in here and try to prove your view to me, because that fight's been going on for a long time. And that's why I say America first, not Israel first. That's what I say. Okay, Lauren, go for it.
Hey, Coach, it's Laura. I've got a thought. Why don't we just be focused on the return of Christ coming in every day when you show up to help someone else? That's the return of Christ.
Christ in you and hope of glory.
And yes. That's putting America first. You know, and Israel can deal with Israel because it's all jacked up anyways.
Laura Ann, you understand.
The Rothschilds are all involved in it anyways, but we need to show up and be Jesus Christ, and be John 1:14-16. You know, the word became flesh and blood and dwelt among us to reveal the glory of the Lord, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because of grace and his mercy and his love, and just showing up. You can't even show up on a day-to-day because people are too much, because you don't want to bear somebody's burdens.
Right.
So, and you're focused on Israel, but you can't focus on your day-to-day and showing up for someone, holding a door open for someone, giving somebody a smile. That's all I've got to say.
I tend to agree with it. And this will sound really kind of crude. You guys, you know this, right? We're in the Middle East because it's Israel. You know that we're in the Middle East because it's Israel. And yet they tell us there's a separation between the church and state. Well, there's a separation between the church and the state. Why are we supporting Israel? Now, some of you are getting nervous. But I want you to know, I don't care what you believe, you could be wrong. There are three different views, all considered orthodox. Yeah, but Coach, I can rewrite it. Read this here and read that. Yeah, I know. I get it. So none of us know Jesus, and none of us know the day or the hour. We don't know. And, oh, boy, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Because here's what I really believe. I believe I'm Israel. That's right. I think I'm God's chosen people. And I think you are too. Everyone who carries, everybody who has carries the name of the Lord.
Bingo.
Abraham's seed. That's the way I read it. I'm sorry what your pastor told you. That's the way I see it. And we should not be, my opinion, in Israel, killing Christians in Palestine. But I'm sorry. That's what, come on in, John Lovin. Go ahead and punch me. Love me. I don't care which. Yes.
Hey, good morning.
Many, who the heck is Israel? Until we identify that, we're not going to know. Go, John.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure where I stand on millennialism, but I think that it's possible. I mean, does anybody know how many dual citizens we have in our Congress and sitting in political positions?
Hey, John, let me
At least 25.
Could I be a dual citizen of United States and Iran and be in Congress? Could I be a dual citizen of the United States and Russia and be in Congress? Why can't you be a dual citizen of Israel and be in Congress? How does that work?
It shouldn't be allowed. It should not be allowed. I don't understand it, but I believe that probably has a lot to do with why we support them so heavily. I think Trump has sold out to. I think Trump has sold out to Netanyahu, and I think it's not good.
Hey, John, I'm stepping on solid ground because there are people in here in the queue. God bless them, who love Israel more than America. I'm sorry. Spencer just pulled it up. 10 Jewish senators. 25 Jewish members of the House of Representatives. And folks, they are dual citizens. How can you be a citizen of Israel and a citizen of America at the same time serving Congress? I'm telling you, I don't know how that one goes. Vinny, come on in. Thanks, John.
Yep. So back to those conditions that they set up. A lot of those, Coach, are false conditions. A lot of them are completely and patently false conditions, right? And the whole thing is, it's all about Hegelian dialect. It's about thesis, antithesis, synthesis, right?
Yes.
And what they're trying to do, they're trying to force a synthesis.
And we would understand this, wouldn't you, folks? Look, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what I believe, okay? So I'm not picking a side here. But I think that the idea of dispensationalism, as we know it now, John Darby, folks, that's a new theology, I think, isn't it? Somebody help me out. Isn't that kind of a new theology?
Yes, it is.
It's a new theology, I think. Now, people would say, well, it's new because it's revelatory in the time in which we live. Oh, okay, I get that. But who's John Darby? Huh? Why are we? I'm not trying to make enemies. I'm just asking. Mel.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Yeah, you know what? I have never really cared about this. I've never taken a horse in this. There's a lot of research on all these different, eschatologies. They all, but there's research about a lot of theories about things that are beyond the Bible. I'm currently looking into some research on the little season that, in Revelation 20, it talks about that the devil will be released after the millennial reign and after.
Well, yeah, he's going to be released for a short time. What if he's released already, Mel? What if he's already been released?
What if these futurist views, what if the millennial reign and Satan being bound 1,000 years, for example, what if that happened between 70 AD and 1,070 AD? Would we even know? So I just feel like, I have the kind of a mind that considers a lot of different options. And I read this stuff and it's somebody's opinion, dispensationalism, somebody's opinion. I think we've been lied to about a lot of things and been kind of given false choices. And so I just really, I'm kind of on the fence about this. And I'm kind of with Laura. I think that let's just live our lives. Let's be doers and do what we can based on the discernment that we have.
And, expand his kingdom.
Yeah, I just can't get into this, really.
I said to my wife this morning, I just sent you something, Spencer. Maybe you can pull it up there. I would be kicking and screaming right now if they were sending my son as a military member to go over and defend what's going on. I'd be swallowing hard on that one. Think how many of us, come on now, think how many died in that freaking made-up Vietnam War. Think how many died in that freaking stupid Korean War. All of it to present, all of it to expand, and whatever. This, I just sent this, by the way. I don't care. This is Israel, the biological nation. And can you make that a little bit bigger? Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, which became Israel. And then there's Reuben, and Levi, and Issachar, and Naphtali, and Asher, and Benjamin, and Joseph, Gad, Dan, Zebulun, Judah, which became the Jews, and Simeon, the 12 tribes. Well, there's Israel, people of God. And many nations shall be joined, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm not going to go down through this. Who's Israel, and who are Jews? Paul, I'm sorry. Scripture says there's no Jew, there's no Greek. Well, if there's no Jew and no Greek, why are we... I'm going to get myself in trouble. Come on in, James. No Jew, no Greek, no male, no female. Why? Because we're spiritual beings. You there, James? Go ahead, Jack. Well, Jack's another slow one on the draw there. One of you guys
can't. I'm not slow. I'm just old. Hey, look.
Jack, hang on. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. No Jew, no Greek. Well, I'm making some people nervous. I'm just reading the Bible. Go ahead, Jack. I'm sorry, Coach. I'm not sorry.
It's okay. I love it. I love it, Coach. I want to answer John's question and your question about the dual citizenship. See, we had this. I hate the dual citizenship, but we had this conversation 250 years ago because most of us were dual citizens at the time, but they were so adamant about it that they put in the Law of Nations clause for the president. The president could not be a dual citizen. The president had to be a natural born citizen, which meant that the president's mother and father had to be citizens of this country at the time of his birth.
Right.
Okay.
Except Obama.
Nothing to do with that birth. Yeah, except Obama. See? So we have the rules in place, but we ignore our history and we ignore the law because it benefits us. And that's where Fascia comes in with legal plunder. It's okay for us. It's okay for them because we're going to get to be the legal plunderers soon.
Amen.
Oh, my God.
Jack, let me make this very clear, folks. Shake your head. Shake your head. What I'm sharing with you is not anti-Semitic. Stop that. Stop that. You've been programmed. And if anybody who asks a question, I'm going to ask it. Just because I'm going to ask it. Who do you trust more? Putin or Netanyahu? And why? Is that a fair question? You guys trust Netanyahu? James, come on in.
Yeah, this is you get up in the morning and light a match and say, I'm going to stir the hornet's nest up. I don't really, I have the way. I look at Romans 9, 10, 11 and what Paul said about it. Has God forsaken Israel? Absolutely not. Jesus said that salvation is of the Jews. All five gospels or four gospels. It's just Jesus called Gentiles dogs. But that being said, Paul also said in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, know no man after the flesh. It's just, it's carnal to do, to go this line of I'm Jewish, or the Jews are gone. It brings division, and the word just really, it shouldn't be, but it happens.
Here's the real issue. Please understand this. I showed you the three views, and the experts say all three views are legitimate because no one really has it all figured out. Yet, we'll go to war in the Middle East, blow up the Middle East to support Israel? Are you allowed to be opposed to that? Am I allowed to be opposed to sending soldiers into Iran? I think am I not a Christian if I oppose that? If I don't 100% support Israel? The Bible says all those in Israel are Israel.
Yeah, I would say this. Prophetic events, you can't stop it. It happens regardless of you want it to happen or not. 1948 happened. We didn't have a choice in it. I was born in 57, and you were probably born in 52, somewhere in there.
Yep, 52.
We were born, and you and probably most in this, we were born in the last of the last days. We are there. We are heading towards something, and I think it was a song. We don't know what something is. We can read what the word says is what's coming, and you prepare for it. That's what Jesus said. Watch.
Can we just agree on this? Ain't none of us that know. There ain't nobody that knows. That's why there's so much confusion here. Nobody knows. I could get guys on here that could rip and they could go and go and go and do the premillennial view. And I got somebody else there could get right in there and get the scripture, and they do the amillennial view. And one of my buddies said he's a pan-millennialist. I said, what the hell's a pan-millennialist? And he says, it'll all pan out in the end. That's what I am.
I agree with that.
I'm a pan-millennialist. God's in control, and it'll all pan out in the end. Eileen, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, everyone. Number one, in answer to your question, who do I trust more? Well, I don't know if I trust either Putin, but I definitely don't trust Netanyahu. His name, they call him Bibi, and there's no perfect better name for him.
Let me stop you right there, folks. Please make this. I love America. I hate my government. I love Israel and hate the government? Go ahead.
Well, they're doing the same thing in Israel. I was watching this segment from Candace Owens and Ian Carroll, and they see a lot. They got facts straight because they know that if they step in the line or don't say something factual, they will get sued because they're big name podcasters. But their take on all of this is that Netanyahu has to keep a war going because the be arrested and put in jail, in prison. Another Biden, what he has done to Israel, that people got up the his corruption goes away. So
Eileen, you're breaking up terribly. I don't know why. You're breaking up terribly. Hang on a sec. Hey, Spencer, pull up number 3C. You ready, friends? Hang on. Look, I got nothing against Israel. Denominational family tree. You ready? Scroll down here. Keep going. There it is. There's your family tree. That's your Christian family tree. Is that unbelievable, folks? Look at the time frames over on the side. Early biblical church started out with one church. And right away, they broke off into the Coptic church, and the Syriac church, and the Nestorian church, and then the Armenian apostolic, and the Church of the East, and then the Sir Thomas Christians, and the Syrian church, and the Oriental Orthodox, and then Bori. 10,054, the Roman Roman Catholic showed up, Eastern Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Serbian Orthodox, Romanian. Huh? Look at that. Look at that. Is it just me, or is that a picture of confusion? And each one of them thinking they are right. Each one of them. Amen. Amen. Vinny, come on in.
There's this thing called incitement to hatred that they've used to put people in jail. There's this fellow named Rick Heskey who got put in jail for videos that he posted. Now, in comparison, BB Netanyahu has incited hatred that has killed thousands in Gaza, as well as other places, and yet no jail sentence for him. So I just wonder why the two-tiered system, huh?
Hang on.
Yep.
Vinny, Spencer, leave it alone a minute. Why won't that come on in? There it is. Vinny, your anti-Semitism is showing. Come on in, Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. Good morning, coach. Good
morning.
Okay, so yeah, it is, when you talk about Netanyahu, I just want to say that's not even his real name. I think it's like Milkowski or something. I'm like 99% sure he's not even Jewish, guys. That's another thing. Most of the people who identify as being Jewish aren't DNA Jewish. They're just Ashkenazi Jewish. So when it comes down to end time eschatology and you're trying to identify who are these 144,000 that are supposed to be sealed, what does this really mean? But I think the reason there's a lot of mystery behind this is God intentionally makes this mysterious. It forces us to read his word more carefully. And that it's a lifelong journey of discovery, basically. But here's the thing. There's a to-do list. And I know that some people want to take it all figurative and not literal. But here's the reason why I continue to take things literally. He rode into Jerusalem. He, Jesus Christ, our Savior, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, just like it was prophesied to be. Very, very literal. He fulfilled hundreds of prophecies very literally. Down to the day, if you study the math, down to the day he wrote that week that he rode in on the donkey, they were looking for a Messiah. They knew the sign of the times. So I tend to take the literal route, but really, we just got to look at his checklist. So he came to defeat sin. Check. He did that on the cross. He came to defeat death. Check. He did that on the cross. But has he defeated and punished Satan once and for all? No, he hasn't. So that's what we get to look forward to. In the meantime, that mess of the church is what we're dealing with.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rochelle. By the way, Spencer.
Good saying. Good word.
Spencer, I want you to know my wife, my loving wife, came down the steps and told me to apologize to you for being so harsh. So, Spencer, I didn't mean to be harsh. I just tried to get your Spencer's a number one great producer. I didn't mean to yell at you, Spencer.
Boom.
Hey, Spencer, if it bothered you, suck it up, buttercup. Just kidding. Come on in, Randy.
Yeah, we love each other, Coach. We might raise our voice, but at the end, we'll fight together, right?
We sure will, brother.
Okay, Coach, look, you only have an hour. You know, you're trying to get people to think. You know, that's all. That's all
I'm trying to do.
Make them think. Take off their colored glasses and look at it a different narrative. Look at it a different way. That's the key.
Randy, I don't even know what I believe. I'm telling you, I don't even know. Go ahead.
So, but Coach, you know, here we jump over so many premises here that we're trying to get to. You can't get to something without a lot of study, okay? And hey, we still might not define it, okay? But Coach, for instance, Paul said, Galatians 6:16, he says that he's talking to the church at Galatia, 700-800 miles from Jerusalem. And he says, we're the Israel of God. It's mostly Gentile. How can he say that, Coach? How can Paul say that? He can because he understands Romans 2:29. He wrote it. He understands Galatians, all the rest of the book. He wrote it. And he's trying to show the Jews, look, you have no covenant anymore. It's becoming obsolete. You have to come in through Christ. It's a new covenant. Okay. So now who's the Israel of God, Coach? Everyone that's under the new covenant, period. Forget destination. Forget ethnicity. Forget bloodlines. Forget all of it. Forgot all of it. It doesn't matter. Paul, or unless you want to say Paul's a liar. He isn't, Coach. He says that it doesn't matter if you're male or female, Jew or Gentile, Antarctican or Arctic or Asian or American. You come in only one way. Everything else is worthless. So if you'll take off your glasses, y'all, and by the way, Coach, go study 1,000 in the Old Testament. Was it ever? Hardly ever a literal? No, it isn't. It's a term, kileism. It comes from, it means a triumphant period. It could be 100 years, it could be 10,000 years, or it could be 40 years or 40 days. It's a period, 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 period. So Amen. Look, we jump over a lot of these little simple truths because we want to get to our proof. We want to prove we're right.
That's so
right. Everybody's the same. I get that, Coach. But
I think God would be, are you listening to me, friends? I think God would be far more pleased if we spent all of our time and all of our effort and all of our money rescuing pre-born children than rescuing Israel. That's just me. That's just me. If the American government got committed to protecting those little children created in the image of God, that would end.
That's the kingdom of God, Coach. That's
that's the kingdom of God. That would expand the kingdom of God. Clint Harper, come on.
That's an amen, Coach.
Yep. Thank you. Pastor Clint. Oh, we lost him there a second. Let's see if he tries to come rolling back in there. Lauren.
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm.
Hey, there, Clint. Go ahead, Clint. Let Clint go.
I just want to put a fly in the ointment, and I want you to know that we can disagree and still be friends.
Amen.
But does anybody here? And I know there's a lot of everything we've been told about everything for the last 100 years is probably a lie. But if you take face value, and you take what is known, I guess, fact. Does anybody here want Iran to have a nuclear bomb? I mean, no. That's the main thing. We can say we're for or against. I think Israel has done us a great service by doing what they did. Because according to, and I don't listen to mainstream media, I listen to other things, but according to everybody you talk to, they were in days of having a nuclear bomb, and they've right. plainly said death to America. So does anybody really think that Israel is doing the wrong thing after they were attacked and, you know, they've been putting up with missiles coming in from Gaza? If I was Netanyahu, I would destroy Gaza, take it back. And I mean, they are living through hell, being bombed all the time. What if Mexico lobbed a few bombs over into Austin, Texas? What do you think we would do? So, yeah, I'm not Israel's God's people and blah, blah. I'm not, because God divorced Israel. If you'll read the Bible, he gave her a bill of divorcement. And, but just as a nation, I think they have done a wonderful thing for us. If we can stay out of it and they can destroy their nuclear facilities, I think it's a good thing.
So, amen. I can't disagree with that. I can't disagree with that. Yep. But I stay where I am. America first, not Israel first. That's all I'm saying. Good word, Clint.
Amen. Amen
good,
with that.
Good word. Craig.
Well, to tag along what Clint's saying, have you seen those hypersonic missiles come in? Because you see the ones that they're getting, but the hypersonic missile goes boom. Because what? You don't think we have American anti-missile aircraft or, you know, technology over there? So if our stuff ain't shooting it down, that doesn't bode too well for us. And there's been a lot of chat about, we really haven't, you know, maybe thanks to Mr. Obama and some stuff, have a really good defense system for hypersonic missiles.
That's true.
And it's not too hard to get a, you know, converted container ship that looks like a container ship to sit off the coast of East Coast 300 miles and shoot one of those things that comes in at 8,000-9,000 miles an hour. So the point of what Clinton's saying is the Iranian people are good. The people at the top, the Ayatollah, he's bad because you know what? Right. He has an eschatology, whether you like it or not. All right.
Yep.
And his eschatology says we got to take these guys out. And if Israel's the little Satan, they call us the big Satan because we have tape on that. Right.
Yes. So
that's not love and peace. And let's have, you know, breakfast at Denny's. So, you know, these, we have to look at it from a little bit different perspective. And is there, you know, is it all about, oh, we're just doing it because of the Jewish people, or are we doing it for some self-interest things, as Clint's saying?
Yep. But you know? I don't think though, Craig, that we can deny the Jewish connection.
Oh, I wouldn't be foolish enough to do that. Okay. But the thing is, you know, the United States can go back and we can just protect our borders. But here's the problem with that, Coach. We don't use ships that have masts anymore. Okay. We live in a completely different world. And so how are we going to, what's the solution to us just sitting there going, and I'm not saying we need to get in a bunch of wars either. Okay.
Yep.
I don't think it's as quite clear as everybody wants to make it be in this.
I didn't mean to say that it was.
I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the comments. Okay. I'm talking
It's not, dudes, if you think it's cut and dried right and left, no. This is really, really deep and convoluted. Thanks. Dustin Ryan. Come on, Dustin.
it always kind of drives me a little crazy when we talk about Middle East and the threat of nuclear war, and that, you know, that Iran's some type of threat. The only country in the history of histories that's ever nuked anybody is the United States of America, and we did it twice.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's the real threat?
Yeah.
And additionally, I don't want to go too much into it, Gaza, Israel created Hamas many years ago. They dropped their border security, allowed them to come in, and gave them the excuse to kill women and children.
Amen. Amen. This is not as a cut and dry as we would like it to be, is it? Good job, Ryan. Judd, come on in.
Yeah, I think Dan just hit it on the head, and you guys did earlier. But when we take these tips and we go back to the Wizard of Oz, as we pull back this curtain, as they show not only American people, but the world, we are dealing with a specific bloodline. And as they show that to people, this is the mirage that's being discovered. The Israel part, even the United States. The United States, there was a group of people in the founding. And after, you know, World War I, World War II, we have now Project Paperclip. These are the things that people have got to come to understand. It's a captured operation. It was a takeover. And people are like, well, what do you mean? And there's a lot of people on the call who understand this. But again, it's the new people that you're reaching to be able to explain what is wrong with Israel. What is wrong with the United States? It was captured by the Nazis. And when you understand Project Paperclip and who came over here, and what they built, and with what technology. This is the veil that's being pulled over in terms of people being able to identify who hijacked Israel, who was Kissinger, who was Colin Powell. These are the things that we're getting to. They've shown them. And the other part is, these people have been taken out.
along with a lot of their rat trails.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we're looking at a story here of who's behind the Iran leadership. Again, it's not the people. But here in the United States, it's not the people. My neighbor's not bad. Your neighbor's not bad. All across the United States, there's good people. But it was the leadership that was bad. And
then the kings of this earth, right, Jed? The kings of this earth.
And I would even say this is in Israel. You know, we've got the Khazarian groups, you got the Nazi groups, you got the Jewish people, and then you got the Kabbalah Jews. Well, they're not Jews, they're Kabbalah. What does that mean? Separating that group that is, it's kind of like if anyone's ever had it, like you wake up in the morning and you're like, man, what's that buzzing sound? Wait, what are these? Why do I keep seeing hornets around my house? What's going on here? And they built a hornet's nest right in your front yard in the tree. And you're like, how long are you going to let that hornet's nest stay there?
Right. Good point.
At some point, you're going to go, okay, the thing's gotten big enough. You watched it grow from this little small little nest. And like a couple days later, a couple weeks later, a month later, you got this massive, giant network of nests. And you got to go, okay. Got to go in and take care spray. Of it.
Get the bug spray. Judd, there are two big phrases in the scriptures that I think Jesus said both of them. Number one, sorry, folks. Not all Israel is Israel. Jesus said that. Jesus also said, those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Now, friends, that's pretty clear, isn't it? He's trying to warn us, don't be deceived by people who just happen to call themselves the proper name.
Boom.
And if we look at America, you guys know this, and I know this, that the government of America is a captured entity. It is not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. No way, Jose. And neither is Israel. Israel is not a government of the people, by the people, for the people. Neither is Russia. Neither is Italy. Neither is Great Britain. Neither is Australia. The kings of this earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. It's no more complicated than that. Evil men. Are getting in positions of power, positions of authority, who couldn't care less about the masses, who couldn't care less. By the way, that would be a Christian perspective. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a Christian perspective. Hey, that ain't a Jewish perspective. No, the Jewish perspective is just the other, opposite. They love only their kind. Tell me I'm not telling you the truth, right? And so we have to be really, really careful that where we are, that we get involved with living out pre-written history according to what you think the history teaches us. And as we just found out, three different orthodox views, premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial, all three orthodox Christian beliefs. And man, oh man. Jesus said, you'll know the truth. The truth, if you know it, will make you free. What does that mean if you don't know the truth? What if we are living in a society and a culture controlled by lies? Lies don't make you free. Only truth makes you free. And the number of lies that have been perpetrated upon the American people, by the way, and inculcated into the American pulpit, is staggering. Look at that. Look right in front of you on that chart. Look at that chart. Every one of them thinking they're right. Every one of them. They can prove to you why they believe what they believe. So, hey, I'm a pan-millennialist. Pan, it all pan out in the end. Keep your eye on Christ, worship and serve Christ, expand the kingdom of God, and not get involved in end-time eschatology. See you tomorrow.